February 22nd, 1997, Rob Rob speaking in Cottonwood, Arizona. So today's topic, I believe, is going to be about abundance. At least that's what I'm being directed to talk about. When I talk about abundance, or when I hear the word abundance, I mean full radiance, not just, oh, abundance, good, I have some dollars in my bank account, or I'm having fun today. Abundance to me means full expression, full expansion. It means fearlessness. So anybody here not want to talk about abundance? Anybody feel like they got everything they wanted? And oh, good, you're in the right place. I have some different approaches. A number of you have heard me talk about abundance before. So this is going to be abundance 202 or 303. It'll be a little different than last time. Abundance to me, when I believe you have abundance happen in your life, it means you're being abundantly you. And so the little pop quizzes I handed out before we started this tape, and it was to get you to see where you are in time and space, and are you really being the abundant you, and how are you perceiving yourselves. In most cultures, it's been my experience that when you say what you need and want, at least cultures, contemporary cultures, you're often told, well, when you're older, you'll understand more what you're asking for, or not in this family, or we can't afford it, or our spiritual guidelines don't allow that, or the company doesn't think so, or what would the neighbors think? And so many of you, when you said, you were asked, who do you think you are, young man or young lady, when you said, I want this or I want that, or it might not have been, when I say said, it doesn't always have to be verbal. A number of you had the privilege of having some very loud parents who didn't say a lot. So, like this guy right here. Yeah, so, I mean, the attitude will pretty much let you know what the boundaries are. Well, the trick is when somebody else tells you what your boundaries should be, they're not your boundaries. And so you're not going, even if they're more expansive than what you thought, let alone constricting, you're not getting to be the full you, or you're being asked to stretch beyond the full you. And so it's scary, and it's frightening, or it's overwhelming, or what's going to happen? So for many people, when you say abundance, it even though it sounds like a good word to you, it often means a threat. In America, like Nancy Reagan, her program, Just Say No. She didn't take into account that most of you grew up in families where if you say no, you're in deep trouble. Just say no, you're going to get me killed, Nancy. I'm going to be kicked out, told I'm a bad person, locked in my room, shamed, punished. So we needed to have a just say yes, like yes to what the healthy stuff was we were thinking about versus just say no. In abundance, many people have opinions, and so I'm going to ask you at first, we won't go into much detail, but just do a little brainstorm. When you think of a multimillionaire person, do you think of them as kind and generous people? Do you think of them as world-oriented? Do you think of them as lacking in selfishness? Do you think that they really care about the environment? Do you believe that they're kind and compassionate and loving, wonderful beings? Many of you have been trained to believe that wealthy people must have gotten that on the backs of the worker or other people, or that people with money are very selfish people, and the world's going to hell in a handbasket because all they think of is themselves and their jets and their this and their that. And so if you were to ask yourself, gee, I really would, what would it take for me to be abundant? You might be also saying to yourself, gee, what would it take for me to be an asshole? And what would it take for me to be a ruiner of the world or a non-spiritual, the money, the root of all evil? But you heard that one a few times, both of you guys. You too. So the money, the root of all evil, well, only if it's an evil person playing with the money. We seem to make a lot of these things forgetting that the person makes the choices and you make the choices. So part of the homework in abundance is to consider, and I'll leave that to your own occasion, but to consider what your definitions are of an abundant person. And I'm speaking of wealth at this, we're going to pick something, money. Abundance could be abundant joy. Could be abundant torture. America really believes in the torture plan, so I'm operating more on talking about the prima donna plan today. So when I say abundance, I'm talking about that flip end of abundance, not so much abundant torture or restrainment or suffocation, but abundant full expression. But here I am. So look at your opinions about what a person with abundance of money or abundance of joy or abundance of spirit would look like. Many of you have brought up in situations where if somebody was really joyful, a classroom occasion, this is not a place to have fun. Go, wait a minute, I'm a kid, I'm spending most of my life in this place, where do I get to have fun then? You go home, go do your homework. Okay, don't get to have fun there. It's bedtime now. Well, I don't get to have fun there because every time I ask for a glass of water or something, shut up, go to sleep. So where do you get to have fun? So you'll find, oh, you get to have fun for 15 minutes twice a day and on a lunch break. But usually during the lunch break, you're too busy eating to have fun, or mom packed you some crappy things here trying to pass it off on someone else. That's not fun. That's survival. So look towards where you got your abundance. One of the jokes I've said for years is, if you really want to be joyful, make a recording of a school bell, the sound that they ring when it means either school's over or you get lunch break or recess, and play it all the time. You're going, yes, recess. It's like that. It's just a Skinner's box sort of thing, a little Pavlovian response. Look to see how you've been trained. Look at, so the search is, in abundant joy, is am I breaking the rules here? I'm only allowed to have joy within a timeline. Many of you have been taught that joy only occurs in certain places, locations, and spaces. How many of you thought if you were standing in front of a firing line, it could be a joyful experience? Might very well be. Depends on the person, yes? I might find it enjoyable. I don't know. Wouldn't it be fun to just dare him and say, you don't scare me. Go ahead. But I'll be back. And I know where you live. Money, when we talk about abundance, I'm going to lean more towards money today. And because there's just so much energy about it right now, and things are speeding up so fast, and costs are just going crazy, and resources are jumping here and there. What's going on that I believe is the number one, besides just your definitions of it, what goes on below that is fear. And so one of the questions to ask yourselves is, are you afraid to live? Are you afraid to die? Are you ready to live, or are you ready to die? What I mean by that is, in order to really live, you have to be fearless. That when I worked in the oncology unit, I had people say to me, especially when I was working with the older people, not necessarily the kids. Kids died really cool. It just amazed me. Like your daughter, I'll bet she just died cool. It's an amazing process to watch children check out, because they didn't think they had to stay here. They might miss us. But we're the only thing that's important to them. Where they're going can be just as fun. But as older people have been, and older people, I mean 20s and older, not just gray hair or no hair. So older people get attached to here. And so what they'd often say to me is, what a wonderful life I would have had I done the things I wanted to do. And they often talk to me as a counselor without doing the death and dying counseling about how fear ran their life. Even some pretty amazing people that you would think had no regrets. Part of the homework here is to see if you have any regrets. If you have regrets that you can either undo or address, all regrets. And are you really ready to live? Most people, to really be ready to live, you have to be ready to die. And in the definition of death, where do you think you're going? Death, also you get to another, this is going to be a homework assignment for all of you as I throw out some concepts and we'll play with it in more detail. Is, look, each one of you is going to have a different description of death. Well, what was it? What would you use for death on that little cartoon? Yeah, the dark. So I picked dark for death, where many people might think light for death. And many people are recognizing the spirit and the expansion. Today we're talking about death as you all perceive it, and many people perceive it as the end of the game, or I didn't, or I should have, coulda by now. I didn't get a big enough house, didn't have enough children, didn't eat enough ice cream. Are you ready, willing, and able to live your life knowing fully this might be your last moment here? That's the homework. For real abundance, true abundance, you have to be abundantly you. And abundantly you requires fearlessness, fearlessness. And so the best way I've ever found to word it for me, when I check in with myself every day, is, do I have any regrets? I do have one, and it's not one I can do anything about, but I'll share it with you. And it's the only one, at least at the moment, I think it's the only one. I'll look to see. There's probably a few more. My father was a base commander of Vandenberg Air Force Base, and everywhere he went, he had two armed military people with the up satellite, up link and a wheel thing, and the launch key around his neck. And he and the direct line to whoever it was, at that time it was Tricky Dick, the direct line to Tricky Dick. And next to his bed was this red phone, just like on TV, this red phone with the little dial thing but no dialing stuff. And you pick it up and it goes right to Dick Nixon. I wanted so bad to pick that up. Let's nuke them, Dick. Oh, let's get some. It's boring. Let's get some things going here. If it's White House is, if you don't do it now, you're going to get this whitewater thing. So, or what is it, the Watergate? Sorry about that, Bill. I'm including you in here today. So that's a regret I can make fun of or look at, and it was just one of my obnoxious self-regrets. So look at the regrets in your life. You're only as sick as your secrets and the regrets that you hold, and they're really based on fear. And we're all working on these fears day to day. The Hodises here are considering, or have considered, selling their practice and moving, and so everybody that loves them, I don't know, you know, my definition of love we'll get to maybe in a minute. Everybody that loves them said, but what are you going to do? Or what they're really saying to them is, you're scaring the hell out of us. It's not that, we're really not worried about you guys. We can give a shit about the two of you. We're really saying to you, if you do this, you're our foundation. You're leaving the group, or how dare you go and have this extraordinary life. In fact, aren't you scared? And the first time somebody says, aren't you scared? You're really saying, oh, I can see that you are. Because we're just telling, or just saying to you their fears. Or what are you going to do? Oh, you need a plan. I see that. Well, I'm more than grateful to scare the hell out of you, because I can see that you think you need a plan. Be grateful to watch. The homework that you guys are working on, or all of you, is as you live your life saying what you want to do, everybody's going to tell you how it should be based on their fears. And so you've got to be brave enough in living your fears to know it's whatever your truth is for that moment. And this is on top of other things you guys have heard me say before. So for you new people, bear with me if I jump too much on these definitions of truth and love. Your bottom line is, your truth is your truth, and it's only good for that moment you spit it out. Watch little kids. I think I'll be a fireman. No, I think I'll be a nurse. No, I think I'll be a... I promised I'll clean my room. I promise. You know, which year are we talking about? Did you clean your room? I have a room. That was always my best excuse. I have a room. So tell your truth. It's about fearlessness again. Often when you told your truth, I've never met a 3-month-old who lacks self-esteem, who really gives a rat's behind about the kid next to them and whether their diapers are poopy or not. I've never seen them say, I wonder what my life's purpose is. They're being human beings instead of human doings. Everything you're doing now is a product of conditioning, a product of training. What you were told you should be based on the milieu you were in and how you perceived it based on your nature. That's why you can have brothers and sisters be bombarded or praised for the same thing, and all of you can react differently. You still have your autonomy and your differences, but it still is the same information coming in, don't do that, or do that. So the homework here for abundance is to be fearless. And my favorite definition of fearlessness is, are you really ready, willing, and able to fully put your cellular presence, your whole being, right there? Daniel in the lion's den, going to have to be really present in yourself to be in that spot. Are you really present now? And that's breathe. If you're not breathing, it's making you stay in your head and you're not in your body. Whatever decision you make, even if it's standing in that goddamn line in the grocery store, any decision you make, it's about being fully present there. There's no place else you'd rather be. So why be in a hurry to get in front of that grocery line? Be right there. And if you say, how many times have you been in a line and got to have a chat with an amazing person or thing? But it had to be when you were there. How many times have you stood in that line and said, I'm not going to talk to anybody? That's how they sell you those crappy magazines, because they know you don't want to talk to anybody, so you'll read that crap. They put it right there where the I don't want to talk to anybody section is, because they got us figured out. So you'll find when you're busy talking to people, or you're busy just looking around or being present or seeing where you are in time and space, you have no time for any of that waste of time gossip, waste of time useless information. It's just you're fully informed when you're fully present. You don't need external information. You can be still and know that you are God. So the homework that we're leading towards here, and I'm going to give you some exercises. We're going to play with some exercises that I've found helpful to help clear the space, hold the space, stay more present. It's real simple things. My favorite one, though, is attitude. You know, in AA, they say to the alcoholics, look, if you're going to be sober, you better start acting like one. Act as if. Yeah? Act as if. If you want to be alive, act as if you want to be alive, even if you don't. You push the energy. It's attitude. How many times have you been around somebody who's in a bad... Like, watch children. I just love it. One kid cries, they all start crying. It's contagious. One person yawns. Well, yeah, off we go. It's contagious. We need to... And that's when we're not staying within ourselves and we're enmeshed with everybody. But often we've been taught to enmesh with other people because we want an early warning system. I better feel you. Especially feel you. Well, we joked about that last time. These pistols that are around, like you and me. I need an advance warning so I don't get nuked. And so we start feeling, and then all of a sudden, because human beings generalize information so well, we start assuming. Well, when they lean to the left, that means I'm going to get hit. Hi, that's a really nice shirt you got on today, Bob. I really like it. Well, what's wrong with the one I was wearing this morning? I haven't seen you in 5 months. But all of a sudden we're wondering, what are they really saying? Instead of it's just really a nice shirt, we start putting our own values in it. Well, it's not my favorite shirt. My favorite one's dirty, and I really wanted to wear the other one today. But the best answer is to say, Rob, I can't help it if you have crappy taste. I really love this shirt. It's my favorite shirt. Thank you very much. Or just plain thank you. Exercise number one, thank you. Anytime somebody compliments you or criticizes you, which is a compliment in a fashion, thank you. I call it paying you a compliment or paying you in advance. Gee, Lori, I really love your hair. Did I tell you I murdered 6 people this morning? How many of you have been paid a compliment followed shortly thereafter with the person's horror story? Or they really didn't care about complimenting you. It was a setup. Granted, yes, I did like the hair. And then you go, whoa, thanks. Uh-oh, open. Well, I don't have to carry this junk around anymore. Thank you very much. You got paid a compliment. The best thing to do is have a refund. Thank you. If somebody says to you, you're wonderful, they're just looking at a part of themselves. It takes one to know one. So if they think you're wonderful, just say thank you. But if they say you're the biggest bitch I've ever met, say thank you. How dare we argue? So somebody says, Rob, you're the biggest jerk I've ever met. They're right, because it's their opinion. How dare I argue with them about their opinion? They have the right to that opinion. Thank you. As well as many other things. That's the other part I add to it. You're really wonderful. Yes, as well as many other things. Because I can line up 2 other people that come right in behind them and say the opposite. You are all of that as well as many other things, because you are that to them. In the part of being fearless or the part of being abundant, you need to pay attention to your boundaries, and you need to pay attention that what anybody else thinks about you is none of your business. These are really simple exercises. They're not going to be always easy to apply, but take them on one at a time and play with them. As you start to consider that you're the center of your universe, when you were this little kid, were you not God? The center of this universe? And then all of a sudden bigger gods come in and took you off center. And so you're going back to find your center again. And so when somebody says something to you, they're just bouncing it off of you. Didn't you guys know that when you were little, it takes one to know one, and I'm rubber and you're glue? I think kids are the most brilliant teachers in the world. It became apparent to me when I became a parent that I should just shut up and listen and learn. And I have that belief, some of you heard me say before, that when kids cross the street, I never taught my kids to stop, look, and listen. They're still alive. I was fully ready for them to get squished. The part is, I believe statistically the same number of kids get run over every year that stop, look, and listen as that don't. And they haven't proved to me yet that that's not true. In fact, I believe, actually, that the kids we taught to stop, look, and listen actually call that energy in more. Haven't you watched your children or remember when you guys lived through being kids, for Christ's sakes? Can you remember how many times it was a close call? Just on your way here, how many of you almost changed lanes, went, no, maybe I shouldn't right now, and whoo, 2 tons of steel went by you. Some idiot driving it. You can feel and you can know, but you were all asked to give up your trust and your truth. And we were talking about trust. Trust is in response to this fear. You give up your trust in yourself. We're talking about trusting your intuition. If any of you believe you can't trust anyone else, it's because you can't trust yourself. It's just that outside projection. Even if you think you really can. No. And trust is a very brave word. To really trust that right here, right now, is the absolute optimum place to be, and what I'm doing and you're doing right now, there's nothing better ever in the world to do. the real secret to abundance and faith in your life, and to really have that relaxation, to have it all, is be no place. There's no place else to be. Oh, Dorothy, you've never left Kansas. I love The Wizard of Oz. If you guys watch The Wizard of Oz, you've got the cram course of what I'm talking about today. Glenda the Good Witch, and in fact, one of the techniques I'm going to teach you today is my Glenda the Good Witch technique, came in this big soap bubble right at the beginning and sent her on her way down the yellow brick road. And at the end, she comes in and says, "But oh, Dorothy, you never had to leave. You bitch." Act one, scene one, you could have told me from your soap bubble that all I had to do is click my heels. Why do we have to sell all that palm olive in order to find out that? The yellow brick road is life for you guys. I just love these people who, the movies, today's movies are such a waste of time, thanks. The movies from the past taught you guys a lot, good, bad, and indifferent. That Wizard of Oz one's one to watch about. Watch for all the judgments about good witches and bad witches and little people and big people and color and black and white and how people are of many faces. All the people around her can also be represented. Look at, when you think you've left home, how many times did you just walk right into home at your place of work? There's Mom, there's Dad. Hey, you got younger, Mom. That's my ugly brother over there. It's just like Kansas. As soon as she left Kansas, she went to Oz. No, there it was. Ignore that man behind the curtain, because it's the great and powerful guy who is selling junk in Act 1, Scene 1. Wherever you go, there you are. Be present for it, because you can't escape you. And the people you see outside of you are just reflections of you. So wherever you go, there's a reflection of you. Run like crazy. Peter Pan can't get away from his shadow. Or her shadow. Thank you, Mary Martin. So even Mary Martin got to show us that Peter Pan doesn't have to be a guy. The willingness to be fully present right now and not think you're wasting time. There's no such thing as time. How many of you have noticed it takes twice as long to do today what you could do 10 years ago? You're not stupid. There's computers faster. Everything's faster, faster, faster. It should be half the time. It takes twice as long because time's changing right in front of you. Einstein, brilliant man, warned you guys all in advance that time is not relative. Speed of light seems to be, but that's about the only thing. And since you're all light beings, that's the only thing that makes you relative. And so he's right on track for all of you. And since you're all relatives, the theory of relativity was about everything's light. And so here we are, back to the beginning. And since everything's light, where are you going to go where it isn't light? So you might as well be still and know that you are God. And be surrounded with the takes ones to know ones. You have to be fearless. Fearlessness requires that you don't believe that all that stuff you're seeing outside of you has anything to do with anything other than feedback about who you are and what you're perceiving at that moment. So when I'm picking on the Hodises today. When they made a decision to move forward from their practice from a normal life to another version of a normal life, it just depends on the group you hang out with thinks it's normal. You come play with us and we'll think, well, I think most other people have an abnormal life. I can't help it. I think my weirdo life's normal. When they made that choice, a lot of people who know them and have known them for a while are going to project all their fears on them. Or their great joys. I'm so jealous. I just so wish I could do this. And they'll even say, but I'm too scared. Or I have a mortgage, and I have a this, and I have a that. And you just bless them. Nomine Patri Filius Spiritus Sanctus, tough shit. Oh, I'm amen. Be here now. Even in that decision, Why do something you don't want to do? Or if you're going to do it and you don't want to do it, at least love not liking it. Love that you've made a choice to not like it, so love the fact that it's uncomfortable. One of the biggest secrets, tell you the biggest secret, if you want to end something that's torturing you, love it. How many of you guys have found out the things you love are hard to find, the things you don't like, they're all over the place? Thanksgiving, my favorite time. If you like grapefruits, every place you go, there's going to be oranges in their cornucopias. But the people that are there are going, oh yeah, the grapefruits are over there. At the other, you go to the other place, oh, they just ran out. But if you like oranges, we're only going to have grapefruits for you. It's about love. Love grapefruits. Don't have to eat them. You can just love them. Or for those of you who love them and eat them. Love it. Love thy enemy. Yeah. Love your neighbor. Love it. If you guys can get love it, you might as well just leave right now. Because that is the key, but you have to be pretty fearless to love it, and you have to be fearless to keep your judgments out of it, and this is the way it should or shouldn't be. Anytime you have a should, I'm positive in 10 minutes you can line up somebody else who has an opposite should. Who's right here? And how many of you had a should yesterday, this is the way it should be, but then you changed your mind and it's this way, and now you're arguing with your friends about how it should be? You guys have some privileges with that one. There's no shoulds. Would, shoulda, couldas, there's none. Just it's be still and know that you are God. Be here now. That's the key. And keep breathing. Yeah. When you breathe, when you breathe shallow, it makes you stay in your head. And so you're getting into thinking mode. And you're in your solar plexus. If you breathe it a little deeper, your solar plexus is what you use to be prepared for oncoming things. I'm going to argue with you. Okay. Or you get startled. You pump up that region. You get those adrenals going. You get them endorphins and dopamine kicked in your system. You go, give me your best shot. When you're breathing shallow, you're not in co-creation. You're not in preparation for life. So as I'm talking to you about this stuff, know that it's rhetoric. I want to throw concepts at you so you can look at things from different angles. Feel them in your body, too. And things that feel right, play with them. Feel things that feel like trash, garbage them. But if you're not breathing and paying attention, you're just storing all this useless stuff, Rob's saying. So another reason I want you breathing is so that your whole body can see if it feels right or not. This member, your body, remembers everything. It, like a little kid, I just love when little kids are so in their body. That's a bad man, Mom. That's not a bad man. That's your Uncle Joe. Yeah, and keep him away from me. No matter how foolish you are, Mom. Yeah, you knew when that driving the car. You know. Well, if you're sitting there, you know, wondering if 2 + 2 = 4 and 4 + 4 = 8, you're not going to feel that 2 tons of steel, and you'll wondering if 2,000 + 2,000 is your medical bill for that day. Most likely, a third of it. Be still and know that you are God. So some exercises. First one is take the time to look at some of your definitions about abundance. Abundance and joy, freedom, wealth, like the word freedom. Everybody goes, oh, I just love to have freedom. You have it. In fact, you're exercising it right now. You have the freedom to feel anything you want. In prison, you have the freedom to feel anything you want. Earth is just it's a prison within a prison in a prison, and you're here to learn how to set yourself free by operating in your truth. When you operate in your truth, no matter where you are, there's no place better to be. So standing in the grocery line can be an amazing spiritual experience. So any of you are afraid of then it breaks into so many areas. Once you're willing to be fearless in your life and not to be afraid of death or transitions or changes, then you don't have to follow rules anymore. Unless they're your rules. And then when you want to break them, you change them. All these rules that everybody's following, they don't suit you. They don't serve you. They're just fear-based. How many of you actually sit at a red light when there's nobody for miles? Since you guys live in a desert, aren't there some lights where you can see like forever? Don't wait at that light. Isn't it worth the ticket for that rare occasion that you might get one? Because the police, believe it or not, are not everywhere. Yeah. And if they are, it's simply because you needed them to be there at that time to show you they're just people who believe in those rules. The trick with rules, I just love when I come to the cattle crossing and everybody's sitting there waiting for the light. At least it leaves the whole road to me. It's part of my troublemaker part. And you've been told, oh God, and then in your bodies it goes, well, then you're going to cause an accident. You're going to do this and that. Sometimes stopping at the red light causes the accident. I'd like to introduce a few people to you. I worked with in the hospital, got hit sitting at a red light, following the rules. And I'm sure you got to have a few of them getting their teeth fixed. You know, following the rules does not make you safe. Following the rules does not make it okay. It makes you a decoy floating in the water, sitting still. There are some rules to, and you can. You guys are big people. One of the cool things about being big people is you can modify the rules. You're able to see right and left and back and forth. Okay, you're able to see. God, there's nobody parked there. What's the joke? How does this work? It's a sexist joke. So of course, that's all I know. A lady comes up to her car, and there's an officer giving her a ticket, and she said, "Why the ticket, officer?" And it's under a sign that says no parking. And he said, well, it's a no parking zone. She said, well, nobody was going to park here. I'm not in the way. Seemed like a perfect parking spot. My favorite parking spots are no parking spots. I haven't ever gotten a ticket for those. I've had people like come up and say, the policeman's right down the street. You're going to get a ticket for that. And I said, no, you would. I'm not. It says, this is, don't you know this is Latin for Rob Park here? You get to make your decisions and choices, and you've all been taught, and this is part of that fear of your being abundantly you. Whose rules, the rules of the road, and this and that, and driver's licenses and insurance. And Jessica and I were talking about insurance. course, when you work for third party, getting third party payers insurance is a good thing. Depends on another reality. Dentists don't mind insurance because that means your bills will actually get paid, most likely. Of course, you only get 80% of what you ask for, but at least they get paid. When we talk about abundance, abundantly you is going to bring up all of your fears about I'm going to get nuked, disintegrated, I'm a bad person, I'm going to get punished. Take your time with it. Start looking at some of the rules you follow. Do not shame yourself. If you're sitting there at the red light and nobody's for miles, at least take the opportunity to trace in your body where that fear resides. More often than not, it's right in your solar plexus where many of you got blasted. So if you're not breathing, you'll just react to the fear. You'll think, well, this 2 + 2 = 4. It's a red light. I should sit here. Pay attention. I'm not asking you to break the rules. I like it when people don't break rules. It leaves a lot more space for me. So I'm not one to say, God, don't go crowd my highways. I'm not trying to put myself out of business. But what we're saying is watch how it stops your abundance, how you get mad at yourself for sitting and doing things you don't want to do. Once you give yourself permission to be abundant, you will find that you never have to make those decisions again because they're not resistances for you. So once you make up your mind that it's okay to break rules, guess what? You never have to ever break a rule again. Lights will always either change, or it's really clear to you that you can just move through. It won't even feel like a rule being broken to you. Look, when you were little kids, there were all those rules not to break. How many of you broke those since you were little? We can talk about some sex rules if you want. Yeah. So the homework here is many people still feel guilty about breaking rules that were only subscribed for a 5-year-old. You never took the time to consider that maybe I'm a big person now. What I mean by big person, most of you know me. No, I don't use the word adult because I've never met one. It's all been adulterated, maybe. I can call it adulterated. But there's big people and little people. In the world, now, I take that back. There are adults in the world. There's a little one sitting back there. Adults are those people who do what they want, when they want, how they want, reap the rewards, suffer the consequences, don't complain. It's their life. And children are the ones who let everybody tell them what to do and complain about it and bitch and moan. So there's a hell of a lot of adults that are 7 years old and less. And there's a whole bunch of children that are 7 years old and older. And so when I talk about big people, I'm talking about adult, but for you guys, you're big people. One of the gifts of being a big person, and many of you were promised this when you're little, when you grow up, you get to da-da-da-da-da. You'll understand. I don't know. God, when I grew up, I don't think I did yet because I still don't understand. So I guess that's a measurement of when you grow up, the minute you understand why it is that it wasn't okay to make noise in your room or why it wasn't okay to cross the street without looking or whatever you were told. The homework for abundance is to be fearless and to recognize that a lot of these rules are not your rules. You might have made them in another lifetime. Well, if you did, come and change them. When you consider breaking rules, does that scare you? Do you go into shame? Do you think you might be a bad person? Do you think you're going to get a ticket? Do you think God's going to nuke you? Do you think they'll never love you again, whoever there is? One of the biggest blackmails that happens is that doesn't happen in our family, or we won't love you, nurture you, except we'll withdraw energy from you, or we'll put energy at you you don't find very fascinating or very fun. So if you got conditioned to do it somebody else's way. And one of my favorite things to suggest is look at the life of the people who told you how life should be. Did they have the kind of life you wanted to have? If so, follow their rules. It seems to work. If not, that's why you're here. Going to take a 10-minute break? Okay, so we're back. Let's see. I'll start this section with reminding you that a wimp with a shield is still a wimp. Okay? Do you all hear that? Gail, this is very important for you to hear, young lady. I feel like a school teacher today. Well, you children in all sections, please shut the fuck up. Okay. A wimp with a shield is still a wimp. And we're going to operate on that principle. If you're scared and we give you all these great techniques to protect you, you'll stay scared forever. So I'm more fond of stepping into the fire and then getting some salve on it real quick. And step in the fire. And pretty soon you can step in the fire and say, so what? As opposed to always going around in some heat shield and never getting the experience of it or never being able to just walk right through it. So some of you have heard these exercises. I just wanted to spit them all out at once here today. So my first one is a developing boundaries exercise. And the first part about boundaries we started alluding to earlier, you got trained to start feeling everybody. We have a whole room full of psychic dialysis machines. You start feeling everybody and you, okay, they're safe, they're not. I imagine this happens for most of you looking around the room. When you go to a restaurant, long before you even think, they hand you that menu, don't give me that damn menu, I'm still looking at everybody. I don't have time to look at it. I'm busy seeing if I'm safe here. I'm busy seeing if they love me or not. I'm busy seeing, oh, that person, that kid's not happy. Look at that grouch. Oh, that lady needs different hair. And oh, there's a nice person. That first few minutes of am I safe or okay or loved or in time and space. And you're busy taking all their energy on. So pay attention to those things. So boundaries number one is be present, breathe, get in your body, make a decision to be here. A little check-in exercise to just get you back in your boundary, in your body and boundaries is just to take a couple breaths. And you'll find, by the way, when you take a breath, all of a sudden everything feels well in the world for about 1 second. Just wait till you start breathing normal again. You'll actually, half that stuff that nukes you is just from not breathing. If you're breathing shallow, staying in your head, it lets all the hobos move in. It's just like they throwing sheets over your couches, and they just say, oh, good, let's just move on in. One of the ways to stop them from moving in is get back in your body. These are my feet, my calves, my shins, thighs, my waist, my hips, my stomach, my back. Don't forget the back of you. My butt, my back, my neck, my shoulders, my hair. And yeah, what about the rent? While you're busy checking into your body, you'll find you'll be fearless. Because fear is an anticipatory energy about what might happen. It's not about what's happening in the moment. Let's say they came to kick you out. You haven't paid your rent. And so you're worried for the last 30 days you haven't paid your rent, and it's way, and you can hear them coming up the stairs, and oh, I'm in big trouble, I haven't paid the rent. As soon as you open the door and they go, you haven't paid your rent, you're not scared about it anymore. You're more scared about where your butt's going to land in about 5 minutes. As you're flying through the air, where's my butt going to land? Where's my butt? And as soon as you bounce off the ground, God, I wonder what I'm going to eat tonight, or I wonder where I'm going to sleep tonight. Now you're worried about it as you're skidding along. Fear is always that next step. You'll find that when you stay in your body and be present in the moment, fear does not exist. Little children are not fearless because they're stupid. They're fearless because they're in their bodies. We haven't talked them out of it yet. We haven't asked them a million and a half times yet, why'd you do that? Oh, I don't know, cuz. You've heard my cuz chat, haven't you guys heard my cuz chat? Cuz means I'm being the cause of my life because, but since most parents can't handle that their children are much older than they are, children learn to say cuz. Because it makes it sound more childlike. I'm being the cause of my life. I've taken all the information psychically, kinesthetically, intellectually, educationally, spiritually, vibrationally, all the leads, that whole Chinese family in your body. And now that they're all there, I've made a decision. I can't possibly tell you how I made it, because. So be the cause of your life. And be the cause of your life, you have to be present. While you check into your body, you'll find that you're too busy checking in to be afraid. How many of you thought while I was talking about that about your rent or what was going to happen 2 minutes from now? It's like sneezing with your eyes open. Marty Feldman tried it, and look what happened to him. You know, I suggest not doing it. he's the poster boy for don't sneeze with your eyelids open. It's just like trying to sneeze with your eyes open, staying present and being afraid. They're oxymorons, they're peacekeeper missiles, they're jumbo shrimp. They don't exist in the same space, but I just have to giggle about this, an America joke. Scud missiles and peacekeeper are patriots. They're fucking missiles. Patriot missile, Scud missile, don't you expect that? It's a Scud missile. Like, it's a missile, I'm sure it goes boom. Watch out for these semantics that take you out of your body, too. Has Madison Avenue reached every area of America? Patriot missiles and Scud missiles. Peacekeeper missiles. I mean, my God. That, I really believed that when I heard it, sure. Something's wrong with that. Be in your body. Be present for those things. So you go, wait a minute, it's not true. That's another thing about those rules. A lot of them you're going to look at, you're going to go, I should have had a V8. Of course, you had a V8, you wouldn't have stopped for that light, right? Woom, woom. Check into your body. Next exercise in boundaries is boundaries from the outside in stuff. And so my favorite exercise, and it's real easy, and I want to apologize to my pen in advance for insulting it. This is just the pen. Are you okay with that? He's okay with that. This is just the pens. So it's not like you can get a million of them. Half of you are going to take those pens I passed out to you today because there's no BFD, right? No big deal. I just go steal more from hotels and I pass them out again. So I love this pen. It's my favorite pen. I'm insulting it right now. It's just a pen, right? So when I hand it to any one of you, I do not want you to take it. I want you to reject this pen. And so I'm going to hand this, but don't take it. And I shouldn't do it with the yellow because they always do the opposite of what you tell them. Am I supposed to take it or not? Don't take this pen. And when I do, So when I hand this to you, it's actually, you've been trained, all of you, to like leaflets. Unless you grew up in New York, New York will fix you real fast. They try handing you everything and every New York walks like this. Don't hand it to me, I don't want to take it. you guys, have you done New York yet where they hand you leaflets? They even have you leaflets saying, don't take leaflets. It's really great. This exercise you can do with everybody. Practice handing a pen to them or have them hand it to you. And the favorite part is when you least expect it. It's like Cato and who was it, the Pink Panther, and he had his assistant always, ayo, sneak out and surprise him. Have them come up and go, ha-ha. And your job is to, at some point in your life, be able to go, what's the energy exchange? I'm more than glad to grab the pen, but what's in it for me? I'll take the pen. I like the pen. What's the exchange? Don't just grab it because I offered it. When I walk, and this is a practical, tangible, at least in the insulting fashion in which I'm addressing it today, it's just a pen. So if you can get used to not taking the pen, then the next thing you're ready for is not taking the attitude or not taking the energy. I can walk up and give you a feeling. How many of you are able to fend off a feeling, go, I'm not going to take that feeling? What's the energy exchange? I'm more than glad to consider processing your feelings for you, but what's in it for me? Not what's in it for me like money, what's in it for me so we have an equal exchange. More than glad to help process you as long as I get to have your house. So, and by the way, this sounds real easy. It's really hard to not grab this pen. Sally, where's Sally? Here, grab that pen. You know what I'm talking about, you guys? Yeah, especially for a blue, it's a torture. Don't grab the pen. And if they go, okay, I'm not going to grab the pen, all we have to do is this. Right? Little extra attitude. And that's what you guys got trained. Okay, I'm not going to grab the pen. If you don't grab the pen, you're fucking dead. Okay, I'll grab the pen. That's the exchange. I get to live. Okay, I got it. Some of you get the exchange right up front. If you don't clean your room, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, that's, I don't even need to ask what the energy exchange is. I'll go do it. Once you get the fact that you can practice with an animate object, which, by the way, is not very easy. It's real tempting to grab that pen when somebody puts energy towards you. It just seems like it wouldn't be hard, would it? It sucks. It's like all of a sudden your right hand is the most uncomfortable thing on your body. You feel like Quasimodo. It's like stage where you're supposed to give a chat. What do I do with my hands? So then you can move into feelings and then practice it with people that you feel safe with, love and trust. And it's clear, I'm going to send a feeling your way. Do not take it, no matter how wonderful it is. And so when I say don't take it, what do you guys do to not take it? Pay attention. Do I withdraw within myself? Do I take a breath? A lot of you will take a breath. That's one of the times where you'll recognize a breath comes in handy. All of a sudden you go. Some of you might have had children that do that. Got one right in the back. Sierra. Well, go ahead, penetrate this, babe. Yeah, little kids when they hold their breath, you know. It's like, I'm immovable. I'm a fortress. So another way is when you start breathing, you're going to find you're more in your body. You're already fulfilled and inspired and prepared, so you might not even have to do anything. If you're really breathing, you'll find half the stuff that comes at you is bling. It's like Wonder Woman with those little braces. Started to give me a feeling, did you? Take that back. So breathing, getting in your body, staying present, making a decision there's no place else you'd rather be, checking in. Wimp with the shield is still a wimp. But here's an exercise that knowing that if you're, I'm not going to teach you any of these really protect yourself stuff because it's useless. You're not going to grow. And one of the exciting parts about planet Earth, what you're here to do, is you're like a flower. You're here to grow. Even when you get into that rotten, ugly, look, I'm about to fall off part. It's all part of it. How many of you look through a garden and go, God, get rid of all those ugly flowers? Just flowers. You walk through nature, go, there's a new one I like. There's a shitty old flower. You know? When you're in nature, all of a sudden, when you're in nature, aren't they all just wonderful? in their contrast to each other in all their stages. So you're just nature. I'm just looking at it. And that's why I put you all in rows, so you look like my garden. So I have all these flowers in all various stages, vibrationally, kinesthetically, age-wise, perceptually. And you can all look around and check out your gardeners, your fellow gardens. Wimp with the shield, still a wimp. So here's an exercise for clearing. It looks like I'm asking you to put yourself in a shield, but it's just a momentary description of yourself. When you take on other people's energy by sitting in the restaurant and checking it out, which it's going to take a while to get over doing that or do it consciously, like, okay, I'm going to check all of them out, but I'm going to hold my space. So after, you know, don't you feel full after that? Like, why'd you give me a menu? Where do I tip the waiter or do I tip them? I've just had plenty to eat. Now I'm not really very hungry. I'm full of them. This is my space, above and below and all around me. Make the cocoon as big as you want or as small as you want. I suggest make it big, get arrogant. Like, have it, make your space encompass other people, not just, oh, I can only go this far and that far. This is my space above and below and all around me, and any energy that isn't mine, go home. Go home. Any any energy that isn't mine, go home. And the reason we're saying any energy, it's that pay to compliment stuff. Wow, I really love your hair, Lori. Oh, and I can't tell you about murdering six people now. Well, you want the good stuff to go to, all that propaganda that get that. It's like your families. I just chatted with somebody yesterday. Their family said, you're such a sweet and nice girl. Okay, what do you want? What am I going to have to clean the dishes and bring the turkey this Thanksgiving? Okay. You know, they use compliments, et cetera. Any energy that isn't mine, go home. The reason we say go home is for most of you, some of us can actually send it and say, go wherever you want, just get the hell out of here. But for many of you, it's not going to be easy for you just to kick it out, so send it home. Home's where the heart is. Home's where it came from. If I go and slime Bob, oh, Bob, let me tell you about my horrible life. And Bob's going, oh, wow, Rom, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I go, and he can feel crappy about it. I feel great. Now I just dumped it on him. And then he gets to go, well, thanks, Rob, very much, but I have a technique. This is my space above and below and all around me, and any energy that isn't mine, go home. That energy I put in him may not have been mine. So when he says go home, he's not sending it back to me. He's sending it to where it came from, home. So I might have just gotten it from someone else who slimed me and I passed it on, like your families did to you. You think they believed, at 3 months of age, they believed all that propaganda? You know, they lived through depressions. The world was in war constantly. Didn't really have any mobility, truly, until after World War II and after rationing, when it started getting more mobile. Otherwise, it was all pretty locked in. Some of you are the first generation to really have a chance to, you know, spin those tires and not look at the gas gauge so much. Remember those gas wars? 5 cents a gallon. I grew up in Italy, so coming here when gas, even at that time, was $3 a gallon, and it was 5 cents here and there was a gas war, it was a gas joke. Well, that's not a war, that's a skirmish. Claim your space, clear it, and then go back to life again, knowing full well you might get nuked again. Don't keep, it's not a shield around you. We're just asking you, this is your space, clear it. 2 seconds later, half a second later, Rob can come right back. Oh, I forgot to tell you one more part, Bob. Oh, thanks, Rob. Here we go again. At first it sounds like rhetoric. After you've done this a couple of times, it actually is just something you feel. Done. Gone. For energy that's coming at you, or for you powerful people, and I've showed this for some of you that run a lot of energy, and you're afraid you're going to be too much for other people, or too emotional, or too overwhelming, this technique works for you to quit worrying about being overwhelming as much as it is to worry about energy coming at you. It just depends on how you use it intentionally. And I call it the sign of the cross. And no, it's not a religious chat. The sign of the cross, you've seen it in the vampire movies. You Satan, get back, you know. The separation, in the movies, I'll take that back. We'll do this normal day to day. I don't care what you say, I'm just not listening. No way, Cut the energy top to bottom, seal it side to side. The buck stops here, no way. And when you do that, by the way, if you do that, you pretty much have just said, that's it. It's not getting in here. It's a very cool technique. I'm going to do a very rare thing. We're going to have group participation. I feel like I'm in church. I would like for you to turn to your neighbor and tell them how much you love them. No. This symbol that we're talking about, this sign of the cross,